Okay. So tonight we're going to continue. A lot of people requested that we go ahead and finish out. We had three more documents that had prophetic words that moms had over the years, or visions or experiences over 30 years that really talk about what we're seeing play out before us. And so we wanted to bring all of this to you and present it to you so that you can know what the Lord has said. He's not taken by surprise over the events we're seeing over in the Middle East. So we want to lay those out for you. We will get them edited and put up on our website as well for you to have them. But these audios are also going to be placed on our website, so you can go back and listen to them again. So I'm going to read one, and then Mom will read, then I'll read, then Mom will read, and that'll help save Mom's voice so that she can participate tonight. So I'm going to begin with a prophetic insight that she had in 2013. Well, the title of it was 2013 and Beyond. So this was likely at the end of 2012 or the very beginning of 2013. And it's entitled Good News for Israel. I want to talk to you, and this is from Mom. I want to talk to you about Israel. We came together last night and prayed for Israel. We will continue to pray for Israel. Incidentally, did you notice that it snowed this morning? It snowed for a reason. One of the things that the Lord did for us in the gatherings early on was to send rain as a sign when we really hit the mark. When we became more mature in our activities in the gathering, perhaps a year or two, He did not send the rain. Even when we hit the mark, we just saw the answers to our prayers materialize. After that season, He started once again sending the rain and also the snow. So this is way back in 2013. So yesterday, although it is spring, I had such a strong feeling that it was going to snow that I checked the weather forecast. I did not see even one indication that the Weather Bureau detected that it was going to snow last night, yet it snowed. I really like it when He uses it as a sign, coming to us in a way we were not expecting. What was He trying to tell us? He was saying that we hit the mark and we affected something over Israel last night. We could brag about that, but we will not. We are just so thankful that the Lord instructed us to pray, gave us the authority to pray the right way, and then blessed our prayers. It is all Him. We could take the credit, but that would not be wise. He was so kind to send the beautiful snow and to let us know that we work together in a divine symphony to bring forth His will in the earth. Israel is on His mind. I'm so glad because my people have been asleep for many years. I think that whoever wrote the story about Rip Van Winkle, who slept for 100 years, wrote about Israel. I think it's time for the Lord to awaken my people. It is wonderful to think that He is so mindful of us because we have been asleep for so long. Long enough for all of you Gentiles to come into the kingdom. Wasn't that nice of us to go to sleep so that you could wake up? The Bible says that the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles. That's Romans 11:25. What does that mean? It looks like you might be on your way to sleep as a race, so it's time for you to bring the souls in. God's focus is on Israel, and I am so thankful because Paul said that when Israel awakens, the glory will be so great that it will be as though rising from the dead. That's Romans 11:15. Of course, in the first part of it will be Jew and Gentile. Those who were first will be last, and the Gentiles will enjoy the added blessing of seeing the elder brother restored. I think there will still be Gentiles getting saved after Israel awakens, because the other group that God promised to visit in the last days was the Muslim people. This may seem strange to you, but Israel has to awaken for the sake of the Muslims. For the most part, the ones who are going to lead the Muslim people to the Lord will be the Jewish people. When Israel sees the Muslim people, it will be as if seeing the face of God. Of course, the Muslims will also continue having visitations, dreams, and visions from the Lord because God made a promise to Abraham. Isn't it wonderful to know we serve a covenant-keeping God? Okay, he said to Abraham that he would watch over Ishmael, and the Lord gave a prophetic word about Ishmael in the last days in Genesis 17, 18, and 20. So God has to swing back around to Israel and Ishmael because all those years ago, he wrote a promise. He made a promise. The world may not like Ishmael very much, thinking they're too much trouble. However, God sees them as a treasure yet to be held. Ishmael really does need the Lord.
The heading is the healing of Israel and Ishmael. Jesus told me years ago that the only one that can awaken Ishmael and bring the healing between the Jew and the Muslim is the Melchizedek priesthood. I'd like to tell you something. This vitally important priesthood of Melchizedek is a Jewish priesthood. Some think that Melchizedek was a Gentile priest, but if you study history, you will learn that he was of the line of Shem. I talk about it in my book, Melchizedek. I lay it all out for you so you know exactly who he is, where he came from, and how he got mixed up in the whole incredible plan of God. There's a Jewish priesthood. That does not mean that there will not be Gentiles who will be a part of this priesthood. It just means that it is rooted in the DNA of the Jewish heritage. Isn't that exciting? The Jewish people will reach out and take salvation through Messiah to the Muslims. That to me is just amazing. You may think it's strange, and it may seem contrary to what you have believed in the past, but one of the reasons God creates prophets is to shake up our understanding. Go ahead, Vicki.
The third one is saving the Arab nations. There is a great and powerful move of God that is going to come to the Arab people. When I saw it, I was shocked. It is going to be phenomenal. God is going to reach the Arab nations. He has done this a little bit in the last 10 years, but he's going to go deep and broad, and the fruit he is going to bring out for himself from among the Arab people is going to be incredible. We as Christians need to pray for that. Do not pray that God will condemn the Arab nations because he has made a promise to Abraham that he will rescue Ishmael. I do not think heaven will be complete without this fruit from the Arab nations. I want to tell you something else about the Arab people. When they do get saved, even the Palestinians, some of whom are the worst of the worst without Christ, it transforms their nature so much that they are the most beautiful people. It is amazing what the Spirit of the Lord can do in a person. Praise God. For those who may not understand the breakdown of the Arab world, I want to offer this bit of information to help clarify things for you. There are the Arab people who are sons and daughters of Abraham. They are simply Arab. They are not Muslim nor Islamic in faith. However, they live among Jewish people in Israel and are also found peppered among the Muslim Arabs throughout the Arab nations. Secondly, there are Arabs who hold to the Islamic belief. They are known as Muslim Arabs. There are also Muslims, Arabs, and also many Africans who hold to the Islamic teaching that are called Muslims. It is from the second group that those who become jihadist terrorists and do so as an aggressive act of pushing a political ideology. They are extremely violent toward those who oppose them. Incidentally, many of the Arabs, and particularly Muslim Arabs, that will give their lives to Christ will undoubtedly receive supernatural revelations of Christ in the process. Due to their history as an Arab Muslim, the Lord knows they need this divine impartation. It will enable them to make it through the initial stages of cleansing and probable persecution they will endure for the wonderful decision to make Jesus Lord. Go ahead, Mom.
The next one is peace talks or war. Returning to the topic of Israel, they call the talks with Israel peace talks in the press. It seems like the whole world is involved. For those of you who do not like people sticking their nose into your business, try being Israel. The whole world is sticking their nose into our business. And if our people did not know it already, Obama made sure we understood it. The international community is trying to tell us how to live. They call these talks peace talks, but the truth is, what they really are is talking about war. This war is not a matter of if, but when. It is not just the Gentiles that are talking about war. Israel is as well. The difference between the Gentiles who are talking about war and Israel is that the Gentiles really do not know what Israel has up their sleeve. Before it is over, everyone is going to be hurt. I heard once, when you sponsor dog fights, no one wins. Similarly, no one is going to win this war. Everyone is going to suffer, but Israel will come out on top. They already have hidden weaponry that can outmaneuver every other piece of equipment in the Middle East. Even with the kind of technology that exists today, Israel is advanced far beyond the other nations. Israel buys from us, but we should be buying from them. When this war finally explodes, it is going to be messy. Damascus is going to be utterly destroyed. Communications in and out of places like Damascus and Israel will be cut off for a season. It is going to be a messy war, but Israel is going to win. Not just because of their technology, but because God's eye is always on the sparrow.
This fifth one is called the apple of his eye. I want you to understand two things about Israel. You have the Jewish people in Israel. They're my people. So I've walked the streets of Israel and wept with much love for them. You also have Zionism. The Zionist movement is not the same as the Jewish movement. The Zionist movement is the New World Order. It is promoted by Rothschild. He has probably built a lot of Israel. Everywhere you look in Israel, you see Rothschild's influence. The Illuminati is right in the middle and all around Israel. You can hardly drive through Israel without seeing a UN truck doing something. The Zionist movement is the Illuminati. And they really do control Israel, because Israel, by and large, as it stands today, belongs to Rothschild. It is almost a Rothschild state, almost. The only thing that keeps it from being Rothschild state is God. He has put a hedge around that nation, and no one is going to break through it. I do not know how to tell you how secure that hedge is. When you see a map of the nation of Israel, over it is written, Holiness unto the Lord. In the natural, they are the most unholy and ungodly people in the earth. It's like being a Catholic who, although they want to do it right through work, mostly live all week long according to whatever they want to do. Then they go to church on Sunday and get everything forgiven. Israel is not a holy people, but it is holy in that it is separated unto God. Woe be to the man who touches the apple of God's eye. That is just the way it is. Because Rothschild created the government, and because he is the head of the Illuminati, the peace talks are mostly war talks behind closed doors. It is not a matter of if, but when. War is going to happen, albeit not as soon as we think. God is covering the situation, and our prayers are helping. One of the keys is to pray for the Congress and Americans to favor Israel, forcing Biden to change his heart and stand with Israel. I do not believe his heart is yet changed. If it is, it just happened. It's going to take the mighty and powerful hand of God, revealing to him why his heart needs to change. It needs to change to the point that he can stand as a protector between Muslim and Israel. He will have to resist the New World Order agenda to do that. He's going to have to stand against the company of the elite, not because the elite hate Israel, but because they want this war to happen. They want war because they want upheaval and chaos. There really is no better place to start it than right there in the heart of the world, in Israel. The Muslim Brotherhood is rising up in the nations around Israel, and when they get strong enough, their goal is to march on Israel.
The next section is entitled The Temple. The reason they want to stir things up in the Middle East is because Israel is so controversial that its involvement will pull many of the nations of the world into this war. It will ultimately provoke World War III. They want this because they want the Antichrist to have a place to which he may ascend. The Bible tells us that he is going to come to the temple. Have you noticed that there is no temple in Israel at this time? Don't we then have a small problem? We cannot go and set up a tabernacle in the wilderness and say, until we get the temple built, Antichrist, Mr. Antichrist, go and fill in here. He's going to covet the temple and sit in it. They must build the temple before the Antichrist can fulfill the scripture. Earlier on, when I was in Israel, I learned that a community of people, including Jews, Catholics, and Muslims, are working together to try to prepare a place for Israel to build its temple. This has been going on, but the temple has not yet been built because more Muslims must be receptive to it first. Otherwise, it will provoke a terrible explosion. I just can't tell you how true that is. Israel has already promised to cede the land. I've already seen the document that the Prime Minister signed many decades ago, agreeing to the land division. No one can tell me that they have not done it. The Lord told me they have, and I have since seen the document. The only thing left is its materialization. It is just a contract at this point, and has not yet materialized, but it will. Guess, amazingly enough, with whom the contract is. You are never going to believe it. It is with the Catholic Church. Israel has made an agreement with the Pope by which the land of Israel is divided. Do not fear what is happening in the Middle East. Just keep praying. Pray with us. Continue to pray that God will keep his hand of protection over this situation in the Middle East, and that it's not going to happen one day before God's timetable. Men will push it forward as quickly as they can, because they want the New World Order to have its place. But there are links in the chain that must materialize first. They are not ready yet, and they will not be ready as long as we keep praying that God will continue dismantling their plans. It is his Kairos moment for which we stand. Regarding the Middle East uprising, the elite want the world in chaos for the purpose of preparing a place for the Antichrist. That is their purpose. Now, special revelation about dividing the land of Israel. On the 22nd of June, 2003, I had the most remarkable experience. Yet in his attempt to instruct me, at 9:30 p.m., the Spirit of the Lord struck me with a bolt of lightning. He came upon me and spoke the words, "It is the goodness of God." Now, this voice that I heard bore the sounds of the rushing of many waters as it echoed down from the heavenlies. Those words, when they entered me, reverberated through my whole being, echoing through every inch of me like a man's words echoing through a canyon. Over and over again, I heard the words as they traveled through me in a living way, awakening my whole inner man to his voice and shattering the darkness that overshadowed the truths he was working so desperately to give me. When my inner man was fully awake, he said, "It is the goodness of God that divides the land of Israel." The presence lifted, and I was stunned. Moments later, a shaft of light came upon me from heaven. Once again, the words, "It is the goodness of God," were released into me. Every time the words were spoken, my spirit and soul would swell a little more. Again, the words traveled through me, awakening more fully my whole being to this truth. Resounding through every inch of my being, the words would shake everything they touched. My spirit and soul continued to expand with each new verbal release of these words until I was in such pain. It was a divine pain as I was being stretched to receive the wisdom and the goodness of his infinite truth. I was wrapped in light like a cocoon. I could see only what he wanted me to see. I could see myself in respect to his goodness toward Israel. I was but a speck of dust, a grain of sand. I was so small. His goodness was so vast, I could see no end to it. It transcended time and space. I was wrapped in the terror of God. There was no longer any room for doubt, only knowing that his works toward my people, the Jews, were abounding goodness and only good. I could see with my natural eyes in an open vision the land of Israel divided and surrounded by his goodness. The light of his goodness blazed all around the circumference of the land. Then once again, he capped off the release by saying, "It is the goodness of God that divides the land of Israel." Oh, such swelling of this truth swept through my whole being once again. I thought I would explode if he did not stop the revelation. The Lord then told me to call a friend who is a prophet. I did, and caught him as he was walking through the door of his home. I was told to share my experience with him and that the Lord would deeply impress him with this truth also. As we talked and shared the best I could, I was still under such a visitation that I found it very difficult to get hardly any words out. I would be at times swept into other realms of experience. As I slowly shared what was transpiring with me, David quoted the scripture out of Revelation 15:3 and 4a. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. Who shall not fear thee and glorify thy name? For thou alone art holy." As he spoke those words, I was carried off into heaven and saw the saints worshiping the Lamb, singing this very song over Israel. When the chorus came to an end, I was again able to communicate with David. I heard the words, "The fountains of the deep broke open." I asked David if he spoke those words, as I was so lost in the spirit, I couldn't tell from whence they came. He reflectively repeated them, then said no. But as he spoke the same words, I was thrust into another realm and saw the fountains of the deep break open. I was overwhelmed. The sight before me was mammoth. I saw huge, magnificent plates break open. The crevices were so deep I could not see their end. It was like watching mountains being formed. The movements and breakings were so magnificent. I saw the gushing forth of great water seemingly coming from the depths of these new canyons. I heard David speak, "As in the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." I thought this too will be as in the days of Noah. It seemed that whatever David spoke, I would be taken there to see it unfold. I sensed that what I saw was occurring at the present moment in the spiritual realm as God sent kingdoms of this world shaking and quaking at the sound of his voice. As he moves ever forward, giving birth to the kingdom of God. But also I felt that I was watching an image of the great earthquakes yet to come in the world. Then I was taken to another place and I saw a huge fountain spring up from the earth. It was a fountain of liquid light and it began to fall first upon Israel. This light was so bright I could not bear to look at it. I am not sure I even understand what it all means. I'm only sharing what I saw. David said, "We have just seen the dawning of a new age. Just as Noah came out of the ark and realized he could never go back to the world as it had been, neither can we. Everything has changed. Nothing will ever be the same again." As he further stated these words, I saw an age begin to open up like the dawn of the morning sun. Again, I had to turn my eyes from beholding it straight on, as it was too bright. So, my dear friends, to summarize, the dividing of the land of Israel is the beginning of the revelation of the goodness of God to my people. Not only is it going to contribute to the climate needed for an awakening to the Jewish people, but also something more will occur. When Israel has done all it can do, including giving up the land, and time goes by, the antagonists begin another uprising and war breaks out. The world will then be left befuddled. The sympathy of the world will at last be momentarily turned toward Israel. They will say to Israel, "Go ahead and build your temple." When this happens, we will know that the Lord's return is at the door. To encourage you to rejoice in his goodness and pray that the Lord will make this transition time as easy as possible for all involved. Pray that he will steadily pour out increasing levels of light and grace upon the Jewish people everywhere. And pray for President Bush. Oh, that's not supposed to be in there. Sorry. Pray for the president that he continues to walk in the will of our Father, lovingly supporting him in your prayers. As no president in recent history has needed it more, and in this case, it will probably be President Trump. This is not just about Israel. It is about the Lord's return. Israel itself will eventually be brought to grips with this truth as we pray. As for America, our attention is not to hurt, but to help Israel, albeit in the very limited and faulty wisdom of man. The Lord will look at our intentions. Of course, we were still touching, as it were, the Ark of God when we touch anything pertaining to Israel. Therefore, even though we are trying to help Israel, we are still leaving ourselves open to Satan's attack by touching the Ark, which is the land and its people, in a way that is not prescribed by the Lord himself. Therefore, we experience a limited judgment as a result. But the Lord will not turn this into an invitation to war, as long as our motives are right. I believe that is why this had to be stalled through the prayers of the saints until America had a Christian president whose motives were right. It was his mercy toward America, as to other nations involved whose motives are right. Woe unto them. May the church rise up and plead with God on their behalf. One last thing. The Lord recently spoke to me audibly in a vision and told me that it was not his will to destroy America. He said he loves America and has a great plan yet to unfold. So stay in prayer, protecting our nation from destruction through interceding for it. And do not listen to the prophecies or repeat them that talk about the Lord being angry with America over this land division and ready to destroy her. We have many issues before the throne that need correcting, so let us concentrate on purifying ourselves as a nation. Stand in the gap for the nation of our birth and pray for the Lord to bless her and turn her to himself in the fear of God and holiness. Go ahead, Ricky.
So I just want to add that these visions are, and experiences that Mom had, are, some are decades old. When the Lord gave her this, I believe Bush was president at the time.
Yeah.
And so that's how long ago it was, right? Okay. Yeah. And so these, we're just now seeing many of these come to pass on the world scene. And just know God has a plan. And you can find that particular article on our website, Dividing of the Land, and read it in its entirety. But it sounds to me like President Trump is the president that's going to need our prayers on this. Okay, so the seventh one that we're reading tonight is Vision of Missiles, the Bay Horse. I saw a vision of missiles and saw a bay or red horse. Revelation 6:4 talks about bay or red horse taking peace from the earth. Zechariah talks about a bay horse posturing on the earth. It doesn't matter how many nations are against Israel. God is for Israel. There will be much suffering. If so, there's a reason for it. A prophet many years ago saw war would come and Israel would retaliate. It was terrifying. The nations reprimanded Israel, but eventually saw that they stood for peace and that others were trying to destroy him. They said, Israel, it is time for you to build your temple. Now they are released to build their temple. The Antichrist can't come until the temple is rebuilt. Many things will happen in Israel during that season of time. The bay or red horse is standing over the situation and government is upon it. We will pray as though he would like to see it stopped or diminished. There's a limitation he has put on it. Even if not stopped, it will diminish. Please pray in this manner. So I think that was the last one. But Mom, would it be fair to say that the enemy is trying to preemptively bring in the final days, and yet it's not God's time? There's still many things left to be done before that occurs.
It's very important that what we do regarding Israel is timely. The one thing that we can always pray that God will love hearing the prayers for is the peace of Jerusalem, because he commanded us to pray for that. But there are things that that must happen in the earth and must happen with Israel that must first take place. I wouldn't, for instance, pray for the coming of the Antichrist. He'll come soon enough, unfortunately. But we can pray for the continued growth, purification, the opening of the eyes of Israel to their Messiah, because this is very important to God. Many Gentile believers thoroughly believe that Israel has been forsaken by God forever because Israel put Christ on the cross. But you have to realize that to believe that, you have to throw away some important scriptures. Paul tells us that the whole world was sealed up in sin, and Christ came to die for the whole world. We also learn by the account in the Gospels that Christ himself said that no man can take his life. He alone can lay his life down for Israel and for the world. Also, you have the reality that Pilate wanted to give Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, whatever name you want to call him by, back to the people. He did not want to crucify Christ. He begged the people to drop things, just let them go and let him release Jesus. And Israel just refused to do that. But they refused to do that because their high priest was lying to them. The high priest had a problem with jealousy over Messiah and who he was. The Bible is very clear about that. It comes right out and spells it out in black and white. They killed him through jealousy. But the people that put him on the cross were the Gentiles. So in that, you have both the Jew and the Gentile working together for the crucifixion of Christ. But even so, Christ alone could lay down his life for the peoples of the earth. No man could take his life from him, because he was the resurrection. He was the great I Am. He was the first and the last. He was the blessed Messiah of Israel. He was God. He told the soldiers when they said they were looking for Jesus, he told the soldiers, I am. And when he said those words, the Bible says they flew back and landed on their backs, because the power of the ever-living God came through his words. When he said, I am. So it's important as we pray for Israel and for the Arab nations and for the nations of the world, we've got to lay aside the doctrines that man has perpetrated, you might say, and provoked in the church that are not exactly true, and embrace the higher realities of what the Father is trying to show us. And as we do that, what will happen to you will be like what happened to me. And that is a greater, purer light will sweep through our spirits, our hearts, and our minds. And we will catch up with what God is doing in these last days. Right now, the church is behind Jesus. Jesus told me that face to face. He told me to publish the book Melchizedek and the book Putting on the Breastplate of Righteousness, to prepare the church for what God wanted to do in these last days. He told me that when he was face to face with me. So I'm sure that he had many others in the body of Christ that were busy doing things just like I was to help prepare the church for what was coming when the Lord brought forth the last days and the redemption of Israel. But we've got to let go of the old and embrace the new, because Revelation does exactly what John, the Apostle John, said in the first chapter of his book. It takes us from glory to glory. So light to light, understanding to understanding. It takes us in levels to the greater light of the glory of Jesus Christ in the coming kingdom. And as he touches us, wanting to grant this new revelation, we have to be willing to let go of the inadequate revelation from the past. It may have gotten us up there another step, but there's a time when there is a greater purity, a greater knowledge of the truth that he wants to impart in us to prepare us for this great and glorious move of God, when it's going to seem like heaven itself has come to earth. So I really want to encourage the intercessors that as we watch Israel, so goes the church. As Israel steps forward and attempts to move higher and more greatly into the plan of God, the persecution arises. Even so, it is that way with the church. Every new great release of the revelation of Jesus Christ internationally brings persecution, but that's okay. We'll go higher, and as people open their hearts to Christ through the greater light, what it's going to bring to the earth is going to be like life from the dead. So we don't worry about these things. We just keep seeking the light. Okay, honey. Do you have anything you want to say?
No, but thank you so much for everything you shared. And thank you for answering that question, because I know that people do struggle with that, thinking that we're closer to the end than we really are. And it causes a lot of fear. So praise God. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right.